online, offline, bottom line. Sendoff.net.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sundog the Podcast. It's the show where we talk about everything related to marketing plus technology. And hopefully by the end of today's show, we'll give you something that you can take away to help improve your company's bottom line. I'm your host today, Lon Keller, Senior Editor here at Sundog Studios. And we have some guests in the studio today. We are joined by a member of the FM Derby Girls, Ryan Eveleth. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing good.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. Nice to see you today.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Another visitor with us today is Joe Ketterling from FM Boot Camps. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Real good. From our Sundog staff, we have our data and social analyst, Alyssa Dahl.
How's it going?
Very well. And we're also joined by our marketing intern, Cassie Wicca.
Hi.
How you been?
I'm great.
Super.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to start with Ryan, with you today about the FM Derby Girls. First, let's get a little background. Who are the FM Derby Girls?
Well, we're a women's flat track derby league in North Dakota. We were the first in North Dakota, and North Dakota was actually the last in the nation to get a derby league.
Okay.
We've had our inaugural season ended this past May, and it's been quite the ride so far. We are looking at a roster of 80 girls next season.
Wow.
And that's actually our cap, so we won't be...
That's
great. Yeah, that's grown just amazing amounts.
And this is the very first derby team ever in the state?
In the resurgence.
Okay.
For North Dakota, yeah.
When was the last peak?
I'm not sure when the last peak was. I didn't even hear about roller derby until I joined this February. Mm-hmm. But it was pretty popular in the 70s. Mm-hmm. I know, but it was very different back then because it was mostly staged, like mm-hmm. kind of like wrestling, mm-hmm. how it is now. But mm-hmm. but now derby is, we're trying to really market it as a sport. It's mm-hmm. athletic. It has rules. It's not, you know, it is entertainment, but that's not its sole purpose. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay. Joe, can you tell us a little bit about what FM Boot Camps are all about?
Sure. FM Boot Camps is a 30-minute express workout, primarily for fat loss crowd. I work with mostly women. I do have a few guys that sneak in there, but it's a 30-minute class I run out of a local gym here in town, and it's a lot of fun to teach. Cassie here is one of my clients, and okay. I think she likes it when she shows up.
Yeah, I enjoy it about 80% of the time.
Okay, but 20% he's pushing you pretty hard, probably.
And then I'm very angry.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good. Well, we have both Ryan and Joe here today, mainly because to talk about how they're marketing their organizations, and primarily they're doing it through the social media channels, correct?
Right.
Okay. Joe, we'll start with you. What channels do you primarily use? What works well for you? Have you discovered, does Twitter work better? Does Facebook better? Sure. Others?
Sure, absolutely. It's mostly Facebook. I really feel like Twitter in the FM area hasn't really caught on with mainstream yet. But Facebook for me has been very successful as far as a marketing platform. It really has allowed me to connect with my prospects. It's created a nice little funnel for me to get the leads that I want to, you know, really get some connections out there. Mm-hmm. And I find that when I got rolling a little bit with with Facebook, and I got my clients connected on there and got everybody onto my Facebook page, my referrals from those friends increased. So, you know, my word of mouth marketing was much better once I got, you know, connected on Facebook with the Facebook pages through my clients. And it's slowly grown from there. And now I use Facebook as an ad platform as well. And I'm finding that that's actually got a pretty high ROI for, you know, for me as well.
Very nice. Ryan, is the story roughly the same with you? I mean, can you attribute, since you're going to be capping at 80 people next year, is that, do you think, large in part due to social media?
A lot has to do with our social media, but I think a lot of it also has a lot to do with our charity work. We're always in the community doing things. There's lots of word of mouth. There's lots of people who talk about roller derby. Like, you know, we have several of us in our jobs. It just spreads through our jobs. I mean, but social media allows us a connection that we wouldn't have had otherwise, and something that it's more of a casual forum for our fans and supporters to get in touch with us. And I think that's really nice as an entity or as a team, I suppose, or a league, that it allows them to come to us rather than us just kind of putting out publications or, you know, saying what we're doing or talking out at them. They're talking with us, basically.
So. Is social media your primary method of promoting your businesses? Is it your only method?
It's not my only method. I still use physical, you know, like flyers and things like that. Social media is definitely a big chunk of it. And I try to use it more and more because it's, number one, it's cheap. It's, you know, it's free for the most part other than the ads. I find that my ROI, the more and more I invest in it, the better it's become for me. So, and the more people I get involved with it, it seems like it's giving me a better return on it. So, especially in my field, the fitness field being kind of it's a content marketing type, environment. So people want to know the greatest, you know, the latest thing to get six pack abs and things like that. And what my Facebook page allows me to do is pump that information from me as that brand of FM Bootcamp's brand to my customers and my leads and prospects. And what that does is it creates a, you know, kind of an expert association with my brand that, okay, he's the resource for, you know, six pack abs or fat loss. And by doing that and keeping that message alive and keeping moving, it does generate a lot of leads and people catch on and say, hey, you know, my friend Cassie's doing, you know, the boot camps, so let's check it out. And they add me to the Facebook page and it goes from there. And it's got a very viral effect.
Cassie, is this how you found out about the boot camp? It was through Facebook, or were you guys friends beforehand?
Not initially. I actually work with another individual who goes to boot camp, so I started tagging along. But the social media network from Joe, using Facebook, is incredibly helpful as a client. There, I can't tell you how many times I've quick Facebook, I'm about a workout question before I even start my workout, and I still get a response back before, you know, what should I do today, or is it windy? Because he bikes all the time. Is it windy today? Did you bike? You know, it's a very quick response. It's incredibly useful because it links to his page as well as his own website. So you can also, you know, connect to other pages. Mm-hmm. Twitter's great. I use Twitter. Like he said, FM area isn't quite as, you know, on jump on it, but I find it incredibly helpful as a client. I really enjoy having that quick connection.
Okay. Joe, do you use the like mobile platforms quite a bit through your cell phones, or is it primarily computer-based?
Not yet. Mostly computer-based. I am exploring mobile things. One idea with the mobile stuff is, I don't know how I could do this with Facebook, but with the blog, I have incorporated a mobile website for the blog. And I'm looking at different ways to communicate with my members through a mobile platform, whether it be texting or whatnot. But it does have potential. And I have been exploring it, so it's. But for the most part, it's been Facebook. So,
okay.
And people have mentioned before, in my other job, I saw you do FM boot camps. I saw it on your Facebook. You know, you commented on Joe's link, and they'll ask me about it. So it does spread. And these are people that I'm maybe not close with at my other job. You know. Just quick asking questions. So it does really do a good job of getting the word out about businesses and FM camps.
And I have to say that Facebook has become a more mainstream communication platform than email and, you know, phone calls and even texting. I have more people contact me through Facebook now than I do email and, you know, all the other sources of communication, and I find that kind of amazing that people, you know, this community on Facebook has, it's, you know, it's become more than just a, you know, what are you doing on a Saturday night? I mean, it's become this communication platform, which is great.
Joe, to me, it sounds like, you know, you're constantly on social media. How much time do you spend every day contributing to your promotion on social media?
Sure. A mentor of mine told me that as far as social media, you should be about 90% content and about 10% sales. And so on the Facebook page, I try to put up as much content as relevant as I can without, you know, bombarding people's feeds. And I do throw a few sales pitches in there. But as far as time I spend on there, I at least try to get a couple posts a day. I don't try to waste too much time on it, but I am aware that people are on Facebook at different times of the day. So I try to time the posts with the busier times of the day. For example, you know, mid-morning, it seems like there's a little bit of a rush. And then late in the evenings when people are getting home and they're checking their email and stuff, I try to put a post up there. And I find that those posts get more visible and I get more of a response, whether they're, you know, just viewing the post or commenting on it, or I'm trying to get in the max visibility per post. So I do spend probably, you know, no more than 2 hours a day. I wouldn't say that, but probably about an hour looking for stuff. And
okay. And how about for you, Ryan?
Right now, since we're all basically volunteers for the Derby Girls, we don't spend a lot of time. We have a couple people who manage the pages, so we kind of share the time. It's nowhere as near as a post a day even. We try and get our main events up, you know, anything that's happening. But a lot of the times we have a lot of our fans posting content like videos of the last bout, or, you know, we found out just recently, you know, about the Nickelback concert featuring pictures of FMDG, and, you know, and that was pretty, you know, lots of comments and interaction from that. But right now it's when we have time. And I think touching on mobile, getting something, like, we have a lot of fans who are at the bouts who are taking pictures, who, you know, we want them to send those images to us to so that we can get it up on the Facebook. It would be awesome if we had someone dedicated to it who could just, you know, updating the scores, saying, hey, you know, we're doing well in the halftime, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, it's scraping together time because it's such a volunteer.
Yeah, and to me, these social strategies, you know, they're using the same media to get the word out. But for me, it seems like the FM Derby Girls is maybe even targeting more of the Fargo community, and maybe you're just targeting more of just your clients and close referrals.
Right.
Joe was talking about how social media has impacted his ROI. He's seeing measurable results from it. Ryan, have you seen the same thing when it comes to specific events? Have you done, let's say, a more of a hard push on the social media side? Have you seen results in ticket sales because of that?
I'm not sure. I just recently took over our social media.
Okay.
It was done by a couple of different people in the past, but I think we have a lot of... Before about, we do a lot of radio pushes, flyers in lots of businesses. Our sponsors put up flyers. I think that right now is our main, I guess, advertisement for the bouts. Mm-hmm. We haven't really utilized Facebook as a kind of an event.
It's more organizational promotion, not as
right,
not specific.
Right, exactly.
Not specific events. Okay. As far as the Derby League goes, you know, other teams that you skate against, are they, to your knowledge, using social media as well? Is there like a league presence that you're part of as well that uses Twitter or Facebook?
Yeah, there are actually a lot of other leagues, and we just started a Twitter account. We didn't have one before, and you know, they do the same thing. Like what we want to do with texting scores to their Twitter feed, and, you know, texting Twit picks and everything like that. The Derby News Network is a huge network conglomerate of, you know, the Derby leagues that are, and they put on regionals, and we have a lot of on Facebook. They're like Winnipeg, you know, the major ones that we have been bouting against. We want to become a WFTA league, a Women's Flat Track Derby Association league, and that will allow us to even branch out further in our region. So, yeah, eventually I think we want to expand to getting in touch with more of the leagues that are out there and, you know, getting feedback between our social media. And it's slow because of the time factor.
Sure.
But and because of how new we are, too.
Yeah, and it's always tough when you're, you know, trying to grow an organization primarily with a volunteer staff,
right,
too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So for you, it sounds like mostly the major benefits of the social media are to get the fans' interaction and to have the fans actually create some content on your behalf.
Yes, yes, exactly. And they do. They mm-hmm. really come through on it, and they're excited to do so. I mean, we have a lot of volunteers, a lot of people that are willing to help us, that I don't think we would have noticed as much if we didn't have Facebook. Mm-hmm. They would have had no casual or, you know, informal forum to contact us with. I mean, I know writing an email to someone is pretty casual, but actually having a connection that's pretty quick and being able to share your pictures or videos is a lot nicer, a lot more, I guess, satisfying for our fans. Yeah, okay. So
during your actual events, are you having I'm assuming there's a PA announcer of some sort there. Shows you I've never been to a match yet, sorry. Are you promoting your social media presence at your events so the fans there know, you know, oh, by the way, you're on Facebook. I can take out my cell phone and here's a picture.
Not through announcements. We usually center a lot, like, from our bout programs or the announcers. We're usually focusing more on our sponsors. Mm-hmm. We probably should.
How about through?
Well, there's an idea. It's free.
Yeah.
How about through other traditional media, or like on the radio? I mean, you hear a lot of "Find us on Facebook now" or anything like that.
I don't think so. I think we're usually pretty just talking about the events that are going
or
to be
held.
Everyone
kind of can search for it and look it up, and they kind of know.
And a lot of the time, when we do, you know, the radio broadcasts, or they have. It's based on time, who's available. Mm-hmm. So somebody who does, like, our treasury person might be the one talking that day, and they won't push the social media as much or the website as much. So
looking at your Facebook page, I noticed that you have a lot of followers, X amount of thousand of followers. Mm-hmm. And something that I do here, I watch Facebook pages grow. I know the rate that a lot of pages locally grow, how many, you know, how you follow. And it takes a while to usually get up to that many. Especially in this area, it's not often you find a local organization that already has that many when you started not even that long ago. So with that many people as your followers and friends, I would think with all that interaction, there's a lot of people talking. Do the Derby Girls, do you make an effort at all to look at what conversations are being said about your league? Or do you monitor what people are saying at all? Or you just kind of let it ride and what happens?
Yeah,
or?
It's based on, like I said, again, the time that we're able to be spending on Facebook, you know, extracurricularly. But we have a marketing director, I suppose, Taya. She had contacted you.
Yeah.
And she's our go-to girl for marketing right now.
Right.
And myself, another one of the skaters who manage the Facebook page. I mean, we're on there kind of watching a little bit, but it's not something that we're digging into.
Okay.
But that is one thing that I think will help us, is figuring out what content is really going to inspire the most enthusiasm in our fans and the interaction that we're looking for. So.
And everyone seems really supportive. I mean, everyone's really excited to put up those videos and
to
say something. I don't see any problems you guys have with people willing to participate on your page, at least.
And I think that also is really attributed to our demographic. It's kind of the social media age group. I mean, most of the people that go to our bouts and a lot of our league members are in kind of an alternative scene where a lot of people are using Facebook and social media regularly. So I think that helps.
Absolutely.
Question for both Joe and Ryan here. From your social media efforts, what has surprised you the most? What caught you off guard that, you know, it was a benefit to your organization, but you didn't expect it through that channel?
I would say the viral effect of it. When I first started posting content on there and really focusing more time on it, and you start gaining some fans, and, you know, I don't have quite the fan base Ryan does, but there was a viral effect there for a while, and you get fans that add, and then it shows up in the stream, and it just it grows. And sometimes I whenever I get a new member that comes from Facebook, I always ask them, I said, how'd you hear about us? And they tell me that, oh, through Facebook, so-and-so added you to the page. And then, I saw that. And so it's that viral outreach that really surprises me sometimes. Especially from me, I'm a super small business. I don't have a very big marketing budget. And for something that a friend of a friend sees something like that and adds to the page and gets connected with me and becomes a customer, that really surprises me. It catches me off guard even. And especially when you don't spend any money on it, that's the best part.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, how about you?
I think it's probably the participation. I mean, these people take videos, they edit them. I mean, HD, I mean, awesome pictures, and they just give them to us. I mean, these are, they want to share. They want to be involved. I mean, we, volunteerism. I mean, it's very, it's comforting and really it makes the league feel appreciated from our fans. And I think that's surprising to me that we're such a new league and we have so many people who are willing to do all these things for us and help us and be enthusiastic about it.
Have you guys had any struggles with social media or something that you've seen that you want to do but don't have the resources to implement or anything like that?
When I first started doing Facebook ads, Facebook is a young platform yet. And there are not a lot of ways to measure the analytics of it. And that was the first frustrating thing because I'm a control freak when it comes to that stuff. I would like to measure the amount of who's clicking on what. And yeah, I don't want specifics, but I want generalities where I know that certain types of posts are more popular than other posts. And when I first started doing this, I couldn't measure that, and that was frustrating. So when I started paying for ads, and I had people, instead of having those ads go straight to my landing page for my business, I had them go to my Facebook page. And I find that kind of, I found it frustrating that I couldn't measure that. And now it looks like they have a platform coming out that is going to be able to give you the opportunity to measure that, but that's still in the future as far as I know. I think that was frustrating for me because I was spending money on pushing, people to my fan page, and I wasn't able to track it. I knew how many people were clicking on it. I knew the click-throughs and all that, but I didn't know as far as, what you could get from like a Google Analytics. So that was kind of the frustrating part. The other frustrating thing is Facebook changes every other quarter, it seems like. When they went from they changed the become a fan button to the like button now, that destroyed my click-through rates. I lasted about a week and I pulled all my ads because of it. I found my click-through rates were the same, but my actual, become a fan, rates dropped. And I think it was just a little bit of confusion on people's part because they didn't know what to do because there was a new button and
they're like, I already liked the ad, right? Why am I gonna like
yeah,
the page?
Exactly. So I mean it when they made that change, it kind of I noticed a dip. It's now coming around, but when you never know when they're going to change a change again. Hopefully through the last few rounds of the, what they've done, they've learned their lesson not to change things so quickly, but you are on their platform. You are on their playing field. And, that's one thing you got to understand as far as using Facebook and social media is that you are using, essentially these private companies, platforms, and they can change, whenever they want. So there is kind of a risk there.
What's put Facebook in the news more recently has been their ever-changing, ever-lengthening privacy policies. The latest one's longer than the Constitution or something like that, I heard. Have you seen that? You talked about as Facebook changes, their interface, has their privacy policies, changes, updates, enhancements, whatever you want to call them, has that impacted you in any way?
I don't think so. I was following that pretty closely because I use Facebook quite a bit for my business, and it did not seem like it affected this consumers like the media labeled it. I really feel like I even asked a bunch of my clients about this, and they all quite what's going on with it. You know, they had no idea what was going on with it, and I didn't lose any fans. I didn't, you know, my numbers didn't really change. So I don't think it, the privacy thing, I don't think is very, it didn't affect as much as I thought it would, as much as the label or the media made it sound like.
I believe it affects more personal accounts more than the pages, because the pages are open for anyone. Anyone can right. see them, and they're global, open globally. And so I think it affects privacy issues affect more of the personal accounts.
Alyssa, can you talk more about what Joe mentioned a little bit ago about, you know, the challenges in trying to get the correct metrics out of Facebook? Joe, I think you mentioned that there's, you did some research and there's some tools or something coming out. Is it from Facebook? Alyssa, do you know anything about that?
I read an article the other day on Facebook is elaborating their analytics, their insights, what they have for the pages. Also, there is a way to incorporate Facebook fan pages into Google Analytics. You just put an image tag within the coding on your custom tabs, and so and then import it into Google Analytics. You can also do this on your wall tab by posting a box on the wall. So there are options out there to do it, but again, even the Google Analytics reporting isn't as in-depth as it would be for a normal website. And right. so that is frustrating from an analytics side when you're trying to measure these pages and the effectiveness of them, of what it is really returning. So we're, yeah, just like Joe, I'm hoping to see, you know, as Facebook gets more knowledgeable and the world is using their platform, so hopefully they'll be able to develop an very developed, insightful system for us for analytics.
You know, from what I understand, Facebook has opened up their advertising API, and there sounds like there will be third party software out there, just like Google does with their analytics. So there's hope on the horizon as far as those metrics, and hopefully they keep.
We
going
We want to measure
it.
Everything now,
right? We got it. There has to be control, especially when people are spending money on their platform. So.
I have something to add for pages. This is one of the big things that I've noticed from MySpace to Facebook. Mm-hmm. With MySpace, we have an entity, FM Derby Girls, but people are able to email that specific entity, whereas on Facebook, there's no way to do that. So, you know, MySpace allows people to ask personally, you know, just a private email, not on the wall, not on the page, you know, when are tryouts? I'm interested in this. Mm-hmm. It seemed like, you know, people who were scared or, you know, not willing to put this publicly were emailing us more through MySpace than what Facebook allowed.
Like the private message. You can message a person on Facebook, but not FM Boot Camps or the Derby Girls.
Right. I really wish that there was a way that we could separate that. I think we would get a lot more returns for you know, when we were building our roster, people who had stuff that they wanted to share with us that they didn't want to make publicly, you know, on the wall.
Yeah, it'd be nice if Facebook would allow specific pages to allow that feature, because someone maybe like a brand like Coca-Cola wouldn't want to allow that feature because they would just get plummeted with questions, you know, and emails. But for someone like FM Derby Girls or boot camps, you know, that would be really nice to have.
Extremely helpful to even be able to, you know, link. Because I know there's a way for personal pages, you can just text an entry to your wall right away. But I can't tell it to text it to this particular page I have, or this particular page I have, or this particular page. So there is no kind of on the fly for that. You'd have to have a, you know, a smartphone that you could actually go out to Facebook and, or have an app for it, obviously.
I think it'd be nice too to speak as your network. Like if you were commenting on another Derby's page, like, hey, thanks for coming in.
Yes.
You're talking as Ryan and not as FM Derby Girls. And it would be really nice to be able to talk as FM Derby Girls. I think that would be really great to have a certain kind of login where you can do that. But maybe that'll come to the future. Who knows?
You can only hope.
Well, Joe, Ryan, thanks for joining us today. Where can we find you on Facebook? What's the address for the folks at home that want to check you guys out?
Sure. It's facebook.com/FMBootCamps. You can find me there or just fmbootcamps.com.
Right.
And Facebook.com/FM Derby Girls, Twitter.com/FM Derby Girls, MySpace.com/FM Derby Girls, and FMDerbyGirls.com.
Very good. And the next season starts when?
It's actually open September 2nd. Our first game is in October.
Cool. Very good. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. If you have any questions for the panelists here at Sundog, you can send an email to thepodcast@sundog.net. For our guests, Joe and Ryan, and our resident Alyssa and Cassie, this is Lon Keller from Sundog the Podcast. We'll catch you next time, and thanks for listening.